It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out about a new career-focused program called Personalized Pathways. It's being rolled out in Madison Public Schools next fall.
First, it looks like 2016 will go out on a good note, economically speaking. New numbers from the Labor Department show that November saw the creation of 178,000 jobs and an unemployment rate at 4.6%. That's the lowest unemployment rate has been since August of 2007, before the onset of the recession. But economists do have some reservations about those latest numbers.
Bill Rogers joins us now. He served as chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor in 2000-2001 and is currently professor of public policy at Rutgers University. Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, looking at the big headline numbers there, 178,000 jobs, unemployment rates at a nine-year low. What do you make of those numbers?
Yeah, I think as you did in the tease that the economy is it's not the best recovery we've ever had, but it'll be ending or finishing the year on a strong note.
What is generating the drop in unemployment, the slow drop in the unemployment rate?
Yeah, no, that's a great question because this has been a recovery where when we've seen the unemployment rate drop, that is a share of the labor force that's actively searching for a job, sometimes it hasn't been solely because of good news that people are getting jobs and moving from searching and finding jobs. That this is the sort of second month where we've seen a little bit of a drop or tiny drop where the unemployment rate decline is because people have left the labor force. That is, they've actively stopped searching for a job, and they either are back into school, or they've retired, or they're disabled, or that also the labor statistics collects, they call it the U6. So many times now it's called the real unemployment rate, and that includes people who are officially unemployed, but it also includes people who now may say they're working part time, but they want to work full time. There's not enough demand in their company for the employer to move them to that full time status. And then there's also another group of people that they want a job, that they've actively stopped searching for a job, but if they were offered a job, they would take it. And so that number still is relatively elevated. And so that's where people are getting this kind of two realities economy where people are saying, what? We have a 4.6% unemployment rate, but I'm still searching for a job, or I've lost my job, or I'm only working part-time. And when you factor those people in, you still have an unemployment rate that's over 9%, almost 10%.
And the unemployment rate, it's not evenly distributed around the country or around sectors of the economy. Are there particular areas that you're looking at where these numbers don't tell the whole story, where there's still a lot of room for improvement?
Yeah, and that's a reflection of, I think, the election outcome, that there were a whole host of Midwestern states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and then even on closer to me, Pennsylvania, where the aggregate unemployment rate is still relatively low, but because of outsourcing, jobs going abroad, technology being implemented or greater rate in companies, which has been labor saving, or just also in many of our urban areas where they're at the end of the train, that you can have a 4.6 unemployment rate, but because of just employers not wanting to invest or expand their businesses there, they still have very high unemployment rates. I'm involved with a project here in Newark, New Jersey, where we're trying to entice and incentivize more businesses, private sector businesses, to invest at a greater rate in the city, and so that prosperity will be more shared.
Talking to Bill Rogers from Rutgers University, looking at the new job and employment numbers just came out today, showing good-ish news, not great news, like many reports over the last bunch of months. Bill, let's talk more about what you just alluded to in that project in Newark. There's a lot of places in the country, whether we're talking Newark or maybe Milwaukee or maybe towns that have used to have the one paper mill, say, or other one factory and don't have that anymore. Are there options? Are there success stories that people can learn from in bringing jobs to those places where people need them?
Yeah, well, the one that's being talked about right now, right, is President-elect Trump's work in Indiana, where he and Vice President-elect Spence have worked with Carrier and its parent company to reduce the the number of jobs that are ultimately going that they want to move to Mexico. And this is what they're doing is a very common approach. I mean, we're doing it here in New Jersey. Our governor Christie, who worked for President-elect Trump, he's since 2010, he's spent around of taxpayer money, around $7.1 billion on subsidies and tax incentives to get employers or businesses to stay in our state, for an average cost per job around $60,000. And so, but the challenge is, these are not the fail-safe solution. Even with all that effort, I mean, our employment here in New Jersey is still below pre-recession levels. So, I applaud the president-elect and the vice president-elect to jump into a process that all states are doing, many localities are doing it too, to try to attract employers. But it is a slippery slope because that right now there's the political favor. People just want something done. It can morph into sort of a corporate welfare where you're providing subsidies and tax incentives to employers at the expense of jobs, or at least these jobs can be really costly. And one of the concerns people do have with this approach is that economists have this cute little phrase or term called moral hazard, that one of the outcomes that you're focusing on this one firm, that you could now start to see other firms or other employers line up and say, hey, we're contemplating going to Mexico. We're contemplating going to Indonesia. And, what can you do for us? What can you do for us? So I think the president-elect has to be very, very careful on using this tool that I think he really had. If I were him, I would put more of his eggs in the basket around infrastructure. That is growing our, rebuilding our bridges, our roads, and also one of my students is working on a project. He reminds me we need to work on the information highway. That's where much commerce and business startups and work is going on. And so, we have this digital divide that does separate many communities, and that needs to be addressed in the infrastructure conversation.
Big picture, as we watch these numbers, we're going to keep watching them on into the new administration. How much does a president matter? How much does federal policy really matter versus, the vagaries of the world economy when it comes to employment?
Well, that's been the public conversation amongst a lot of analysts. On one hand, you have some people who are saying that here President-elect Trump and the vice president-elect, they're effectively use their bully pulpit in this case it wasn't shaming, but to really put the screws to I think some of these employers and say, potentially say, hey, we see that you have government contracts. If you're going to be receiving public money, I don't know if it's such a great idea for you to be, moving out of the country, so that's a big concern.
Bill, what is the next big economic indicator that you're watching for after these numbers that came out today? And of course, what are your thoughts on a potential rate increase?
Yeah, the statistics that I really focus on has been wages, because that's one of the big concerns that's creating this kind of two realities that, even if the typical American has a job or is working in their career, many of the typical American, and even amongst young college graduates, they're not getting jobs in their chosen major or course of study, and also the typical American just hasn't seen their wages grow substantially. And this report, did have a nice modest increase, and it was greater than our measure of inflation. So Americans over the last 12 months have begun to take home more of their gains. So that's one statistic is wages. The other is that real unemployment rate, that it still remains very, very relatively high compared to previous recoveries, and it represents as a great deal of slack. in the labor market, and that leads me to your question about the Federal Reserve. I do think that they're going to raise rates. I think the market has priced that in today. But if you look at this real unemployment rate and also the overall participation rate, as that is the share of the civilian population that's either working or searching for a job, you know, there's still a lot of slack in the labor market. So, you know, if we're going to see inflation, I don't think it's going to be on the wage side of things, and which means that I probably would hold off a little bit longer in terms of raising rates going forward.
We'll leave it there for now. Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Bill Rogers. He served as chief economist at the U.S. Department of Labor from 2000 to 2001. He's currently professor of public policy at Rutgers University. Joins to talk about the job and employment numbers that came out earlier today.